The next offering from the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck is this Thursday and Friday with concerts at 7:30 p.m. in the Women's Club of Saugatuck. And it brings together a large group of musicians, string players and wind players, and a pianist to perform three important works, some famous, some not so famous. And I have on the line with me oboist Sarah Southard, who is the oboist for the concerts this week. Sarah, very nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
You teach at Hope College, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I'm the instructor of oboe. I'm going to be starting my 12th year, I believe, teaching at the college.
Wonderful. Well, take me back to when you got started as a musician. Why did you follow a musical path?
Well, music is something that certainly has always been very important in my life. I started piano, actually, at the age of four, and then started oboe in fifth grade. A lot of times, oboe players start on another instrument and transfer over. But since I had the background on piano, I was able to start right away in oboe. And it just sort of fit nicely. It was something that I enjoyed doing. One of the nice things about being an oboe player is, you know, at least in high school, I was one of only a few, so I didn't have to have a lot of chair challenges or things like that. But then it was something that I was very passionate about and decided to go to school for it to see if I could pursue my passion of becoming a professional musician.
Did you study with teachers that you admired and were good mentors?
Yes, definitely. When I did my undergrad at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I studied with the oboist Mark Fink. I then went to the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music and studied with Mark Ostich. And then most recently, I was at Michigan State University and studied with Jan Eberle, all three of which have been extremely influential in developing my musical career, my oboe playing, and just my passion and understanding of music.
Being an oboe player places a person really pretty squarely in the world of classical music.
Yep, definitely, yeah. I mean, occasionally you might show up in some popular music, but definitely I find myself, the majority of music being classical, yes.
What do you makes a good oboe sound in classical music for chamber music and for orchestral?
A good oboe sound? I would say, well, it is different for chamber music versus orchestral music. For chamber music, you don't have to maybe cut through as many different players to project the sound, so you mm-hmm. can have a more intimate sound. For example, the Mozart Quartet that we're going to be playing, can have a lighter, sweeter sound to it than, say, if I was playing a Brahms symphony. It would have a different quality of sound. And as an oboist, I might even tailor make my reeds to a specific sound that I'm looking for.
I wondered how long it would take before we started talking about reeds.
I know.
It isn't a significant part of being an oboist, tailor-making your own reeds and the time spent. Mm-hmm. Is it,
definitely.
Do you call it whittling?
We usually just call it reed making. But yes, it is very similar to whittling. And as most professional oboe players do, we start our reeds from tube cane. So we get it flown in from places like southern France, Spain, and we have to split the cane. We have to cut it down to the right shape, tie it onto a piece of cork so that it can fit in our instrument. And then, whittle away at it and scrape it so it's thin enough to make a wonderful buzzing sound on its own.
And some of the tools you just described includes some sort of sharp edge or blade.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yep, I always have to, when I'm teaching my students, we always have to have a good supply of first aid equipment on hand and teach good use of those tools. There are knives, razor blades. So there is definitely an element of danger, maybe you could say, is associated with reed making. But it is something that can be quite enjoyable when things are going well, and quite frustrating maybe when it's not going so well.
What is the most satisfying part of building a reed?
I think it's that when you get to those final stages and we're doing the final playing checks and all that work that you've been doing along the road sort of comes together, you're able to put that reed in your instrument and sort of realize the you know, hard work that you've put into that reed and have something that is, you know, playing in tune, is working the way you want it to, but also hopefully has a nice, beautiful, rich sound to it as well.
Sarah, maybe we could talk about how long you have performed at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. I know it goes back at least
sure.
a few seasons.
Definitely. I'm trying to remember. I believe I played out there the first time in 2008 or 2009. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it has been several seasons that I've had the pleasure of working at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck.
And are you a colleague of the two co-directors, Andrew Lee and Jenny Walvoord?
Yes, I am, definitely. Drew and I teach together at Hope College, and Jenny and I work together quite frequently in different performance groups. And on a personal side note, our two oldest children, actually my only child and their oldest child, are actually very similar age. And so we oftentimes get together for play dates and other fun things. So our life extends beyond just music.
Oh, that's great. What do you think of the job they're doing with the festival?
They're doing a great job. Every time I have the opportunity to work at the festival, it's such a joy. The musicians that they bring in to work together are the highest quality, both musically and just in terms of having a great time working together. It's always such a great experience.
Well, let's talk a little more in detail about this Thursday and Friday night's concerts. Again, they're at 7:30 p.m. in the Women's Club of Saugatuck on the corner of Butler and Hoffman, as always. The program begins with Mozart's Oboe Quartet in F major, and I have to admit, it's the whole reason I thought you were the one I should talk to for this concert. It's
fabulous.
It's a perfect jewel of a piece, mm-hmm. and I wonder how you feel about this piece. You must have played it for many years, ever since high school or college, certainly.
Yes, I think I actually performed it for the first time, solo ensemble competition back my either sophomore or junior year of high school. So it is a piece I've lived with for quite a long time. And I think you summed it up very nicely as a jewel in the repertoire. It just has such a nice combination of lyrical operatic phrases, the second movement especially, even though it's pretty short, actually, just under 40 measures of music, but it challenges the oboist with some very high notes. It was one of the first pieces of music that took the oboe all the way up to a high F above the staff. So technically quite challenging, and at the same time, very virtuosic and lyrical in its expressiveness as well.
And I think that high F is also a pianissimo high F.
Yes, and finishes up some of the movements. So it you have to keep going all the way to the end of the piece.
How do you pull it off? I mean, do you just practice the last eight measures over and over, or?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, you know, compared to the modern repertoire, the F isn't as high as we can go. Nowadays, we could go to a C above that, not frequently asked, but occasionally could be asked. So the modern player is more used to playing up to the high F, but definitely for the players during Mozart's time, that would have been a very unusual note to be asked to play.
When the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck is underway, the musicians get together a few days before these concerts. Is it usually the Monday before?
Yep, we meet Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for rehearsals.
3 days, that's kind of nice too. You'll really get to know each other.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some of the issues that come up as a group with the Oboe Quartet?
Oh, well, it will be interesting because out of the group, I've only had the pleasure of working with one of the other instrumentalists. And so this will be an opportunity for us to get to know each other, get to know our playing styles. So initially, it will just sort of be a getting to know each other seminar. And then we'll get to delve into the, you know, how fast do we want to take the different movements? What kind of special nuances do we want to build in? Taking time, dynamics, phrasing. So it is a fun opportunity to work without a conductor telling us what to do, to come up with some of the solutions on our own.
Well, let's move on to some of the other pieces on the program. Mozart is the most famous. Then there's a piece by Théodore Dubois. Mm-hmm. I assume it's a French composer, maybe Belgian?
Yes. Yep, French. He was at the French Conservatory.
About what time frame would that be?
He is the late Romantic. So I think his dates are 1837 to 1924. So the end of the Romantic period, just coming into the beginning of the 20th century.
Would you describe a little more what some of the features we can expect with this quintet?
Sure. It's four movements in length. It actually follows a sort of French Romantic style. Even though Dubois was alive during the rise of the Impressionist style period, if we think of composers such as Debussy and Ravel, he was actually writing in a very different style. And some of those Impressionistic composers actually, would sound very different than what Dubois' music is going to sound like. So there's more sort of logic, clarity, melody, sort of drama that's built in. So when you think of some of the larger scale symphonic romantic compositions, it'll follow a similar structure to that.
Was this piece new to you?
It was new to me. I think it was out of print for a while. So this is the first time I'm getting a chance to work on it. So it's exciting to sort of pair it with the Mozart, which I've lived with for such a long period of time.
And that's what great programmers do, is they put together things that will ground you, and then little adventures in music to stretch your ears. Yeah,
definitely.
Well, the final piece is a good ear stretcher, because Francis Poulenc has both a strong melodic sense, but he can also be a little bit sarcastic and just crunchy with his harmonies. So this sextet has a lot of character in it.
Mm-hmm. That's putting it mildly, I think.
I see on the program that a player named Gabe Southard will be playing flute. In what way is Gabe related to you?
He is my husband. We've been married now for almost 17 years, and we actually met. He was playing piccolo, and I was playing oboe, sitting next to each other in band at Madison. And the rest sort of history sort of wrote itself after that. So it's wonderful that we get a chance to work at the festival together.
That is terrific. So what instruments does Poulenc call for in his sextet?
So this is for what would be considered a traditional woodwind quintet, which is flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and French horn. Even though the French horn is a brass instrument, it is an instrument that's typically in that combination of woodwind quintet. And then Poulenc adds a piano to that. So we've got six instrumentalists total.
What are some of the things you like about this piece by Poulenc?
Oh, I think it's just, it's got a lot of unexpected moments in it. You think you're kind of getting your bearings, so to speak, with a beautiful phrase. There's this, gorgeous melodies that he writes into his music. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it turns on a dime, and suddenly you're frolicking through this fast-paced tempo with, lots of extremes in dynamics and range and jumping back and forth with all the instruments. I think that's one of the nice things about using the woodwind quintet with the piano, is that there are so many different timbral voices with the different types of instruments, that Poulenc really touches on all those different colors very nicely in the work.
Have you had opportunities in the past to put on performances of this specific work before?
Yes, I have. It's a great piece, and every time I see it on a program, I'm very excited to get a chance to play it again.
I'm wondering in particular about this piece as it evolves over time from a performer's perspective, where, as you said, it can seem kind of shocking for maybe the first time you work it up. But with time, your fondness kind of grows and you enjoy
it. Definitely. Yeah, I think, like anything, any piece of music, every time you come back to it, it's like reading a great book. You find new layers, new elements to the story that speak to you in a different way. And sometimes with the first performance of something, you're maybe more focused on, that first aspect of the notes and the rhythms and getting everything right. And then when you know a piece so well, you can be freer in the performances and really get a chance to sort of explore different avenues with it.
Well, Sarah Southard, thank you very much for previewing the concerts this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. And I hope your reeds all stay fresh and happy.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Have some great shows.
Thank you so much. I appreciate talking to you today.